On Fridays, at least on certain Fridays, we like to bring in NHPR's own Sam Evans-Brown to answer a listener question about the natural world.
Why do geese make V's?
Does a bumblebee sneeze?
Can a person eat trees?
Can a polar bear freeze?
Is a kidney stone kind of like a pearl in a clam?
Well, I don't know. Ask Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Rick. Let's do this thing. Who's
Come on, James Brown, hit it.
Hi, Sam. My name is Patty. I live in Northampton, New Hampshire. My question is this. The tides. Like, I should understand the tides, but I really don't. So in Northampton, we have a very small beach. Even at low tide, it's not that big. And I was recently at Ogunquit Beach with a friend, and the tide goes way the heck out at low tide. And I don't know why.
So does this have something to do with the shelf underneath? Does this have something to do with like the way the land slopes away?
You got it. So let's just do tides 101. Tides are caused by the gravitational pull of the moon and the sun. So if you think of just imagine a globe,
okay,
and you've got the moon orbiting it.
Right.
The moon is pulling the water away from the earth, and that creates a bulge of water.
Sure.
And so the earth is sort of rotating through that bulge as it spins around each day.
It's all about gravity.
There's also another bulge on the opposite side of the earth, and that's essentially caused by inertia. And the way I like to think about this is the earth is spinning, and so the water is almost like a hula hoop, and it sort of swishes out away as the moon and the earth are sort of spinning around each other.
Okay.
So you've got these two bulges and the earth is rotating in between them. Those cause the two tides each day. And that sloshing is called...
It's a tidal wave. So a tidal wave isn't, you know, a tsunami like you see in the movies. A tidal wave is just your normal everyday tide.
That was Greg Dusek, who's chief scientist at the Tides and Currents Office at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And that wave, just for simplicity's sake, let's just say it's the same height everywhere on the globe. You could still have two beaches side by side where that looks dramatically different. And as you pointed out, that's because of the shape of the beach.
And you go up that same 8 feet, you might go from 100 yards of beach to 10 yards of beach over the course of the day just because that slope is so gradual. So it's important for people to remember that it's not just that, you know, rise and fall, but how that's realized based on your local coastal topography.
So that's Tides 101.
101.
You ready for 201?
Are we going sophomoric here?
We're gonna.
Okay.
If you're ready.
Let's hear it.
Okay. One of the ways I like to envision tides, for simplicity's sake, just so you can imagine them, is you've got a flatbed truck with a pool on the back of it, and that truck is just driving in circles.
Which, by the way, I did a lot as a teenager.
So that water's just sloshing around in the pool in the back of the truck. Now imagine that at one end of that swimming pool, you put something in there, like a fake desert island with a palm tree on it.
Again, I did a lot of that.
You would imagine that would change the way that wave sloshes around, right? Like,
yep.
As the water came to that end of the pool, you get this big, like, crashing wave that would shoot up into the air every time it came.
Sure.
So on Earth, most of our continents are in the northern hemisphere. The idea that tide varies predictably with latitude actually isn't true, but in the northern hemisphere, the farther north you get, the bigger the tide you get because there's just more land up there getting in the way of that wave.
Oh, I see. Interesting. I never knew that.
So do you want to talk about the Bay of Fundy?
Oh, I do. Yeah. The Bay of Fundy has the world's, I don't know what you call it, the widest swing of tide. I don't. What's the
43 feet between the low tide and the high tide?
Every single day, on average, running 43 feet.
Yeah.
At the Bay of Fundy.
What's going on in the Bay of Fundy is that basically it is the perfectly shaped tub. So you get a new tide every 6 hours and 12 and a half minutes, and the shape of that bay is such that it takes almost exactly that long for the tide to move in and out of the bay.
Bay of Fundy is really interesting because the shape of the Bay of Fundy is such that it causes something called resonance, which is basically an amplification of the tidal wave because of how that estuary is shaped.
So I like to think about it this way. You know when you've got a really full cup of coffee and you're walking somewhere, and if you walk at like just the wrong pace, you
set up a standing wave.
And then it spills out over the edge.
Right.
So we can't vary the rate of our steps. That's kind of the rate of the tides. That doesn't change around the world. But you can vary the size of the coffee mug. So the Bay of Fundy is a perfectly shaped coffee mug to spill your coffee.
NHPR's Sam Evans-Brown, he answers listener questions about the natural world. Sam, if a listener does have a question, how can they get it on the air?
They can give us a call, 1-844-GO-OTTER. They can record themselves on their smartphone and email us the question outsidein@nhpr.org.
All right. Sam, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It is Morning Edition from NHPR.